Take your Bibles this morning, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. And while you're turning there, do be praying for these men on the search committee. Pray for them as they go about their work, because this is a critical time in the life of this church as you search for a new pastor. And I hope that you'll pray for them and pray for the church and pray for that prospective family and his pastor, that God will bring pastor and church together in his time. And that's what we're praying for. Today we're going to talk about one of the tragedies of the early church. You know, a lot of times we go back to the early church and we look to them as something of a model for what our churches should be. And yet I want you to understand that there were some folks that, in that early church, they were a little bit of a disappointment. Now, we're going to talk about one of those today. And there's some lessons that we can derive from his life as we look at it in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Paul is writing to young Timothy, and he says down there in verse 10, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." As I mentioned, one of the tragedies of the early church was this man that is mentioned here today in this text by the name of Demas. You study the New Testament, he's only mentioned, I think, three times in the New Testament. If you have your Bibles and you can move quickly enough, I want to give you the three references to his life in the New Testament, but I want to give these to you because I think these references tell us a story about this man Demas. The first reference I want to mention is found over in the little book of Philemon, verses 23 and 24. Paul, in writing that letter, says in Philemon 23 and 24, "There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, or Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, or Luke, my fellow laborers." And you notice there in that verse, or those couple of verses, Demas is mentioned right along with several other workers of the early church. He's seen here as a fellow laborer, a co-worker in the Lord's work with the Apostle Paul, listed with four good men down here, Epaphras and Mark and Aristarchus and Luke. And you get the impression when you read those verses in Philemon that Demas was something of a somebody in the early church. He was a worker. He was committed to the Lord's work. He was working alongside the Apostle Paul, trying to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out into the world. And he is a fellow laborer. He is one of the well-known, well-respected members of the early church. But then there's another verse that I want you to see, and this is found in the book of Colossians. It's found in chapter 4 and verse 14. And this is what this verse says, Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. As Paul is talking to the church at Colossae, he says, "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you." And he just mentions Demas' name here in sending greetings to the church at Colossae. And it's almost, as you look at this, like you get the feeling Paul is suspecting that something is already wrong in Demas' life. Maybe he's not quite sure, but now he's just mentioned casually in passing. And then you come to this passage that we read a while ago as our text. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul, in writing to Timothy, says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." In other words, Demas, a Christian, a child of God, member of the early church, had fallen. You might say he was backslidden. Something happened in his life that got him away from the Lord God. And this thing that got him away from God was something that Paul calls worldliness. And what I want you to see here is a downward progression, a downward trend in the Bible as it talks about Demas. And first of all, he was a worker in the early church. He was well known, well respected, working alongside Paul and getting the gospel out. And then Paul just mentions him in passing, like, well, you know, he's just there and, you know, something's going on, but you can't quite put your finger on it. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul says that Demas had fallen into worldliness. And this is what I want you to notice. He became a spiritual dropout. Now, I'm sure this church is like every other church I've ever been in and probably every other Southern Baptist church in the country. In my ministry of about 45 years of pastoring churches and working in churches, I've seen this behavior take place time and again. I go into a church and I'm there for a little while, and then after a while I start learning people and getting to know people, and I see a degree of commitment in people. And then after a while, some people that I see this great commitment in, I see them kind of fade from the scene. They become spiritual dropouts like Demas. Now, we really don't know what it was that caused Demas to sin, other than to call it worldliness. Now, if you try to define worldliness, we don't know exactly what this worldliness was for Demas. John Bunyan talked about Demas being the keeper of the silver mine on the hill of filthy lucre, suggesting maybe he had a desire for things that were materialistic, maybe money or maybe things that money could buy. Somebody else has suggested that maybe Demas feared for his life as he supported the gospel of Jesus Christ, and so he got away from God. Or maybe it was some kind of an illicit behavior pattern in his life. But it really does not matter what the enticement was that led Demas to turn from the Lord. Here's my point. Anything can entice a child of God away from God to help us backslide away from the Lord Jesus. Maybe it's just enough to say, as Paul said, Demas loved this present world. His sin was that of so many today. And Demas' life is a reminder of the warning of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, "Let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." Now, I want to tell you something that you may not believe. But anybody in this room, any child of God, any Christian in this room today, under the right set of circumstances, the right set of conditions, could slip away and backslide on the Lord Jesus Christ. We could get away from the Lord. I mean, we've got these enticements coming against us all the time in the world in which we live today. So all of us are susceptible to do what Demas did and get away from the Lord. And Demas was one of the great tragedies of the early church. At one time, he was one of the most important leaders, and then he fell by the wayside. I watched men in my church in Anderson when I was growing up. Men that I respected as a young boy and as a teenager. I watched their lives, and I thought that some of those men were truly committed to Christ, and then I was, disgusted. I wasn't disgusted. I was disappointed to see them get away from God into some activities and behavior patterns that were not right. Well, let me show you several things about Demas. I want you to notice, number one, the condition of Demas. What does the Bible say? Well, the Bible tells us down here that he was a backslider. Now, you know, for younger folks today, that word backsliding does not mean a whole lot. What is a backslider? Well, a backslider is a careless, disobedient, unhappy, ineffective Christian, but he is a Christian. Or she is a Christian. A backslider is not a person who's never been saved, and a backslider is not a person who was once saved but lost his salvation. But a backslider is a person who has been saved, but he's out of fellowship with the Savior. Now, I want you to notice, ladies and gentlemen, that Demas had been saved. He was a laborer for the Lord at one time. At one time, he had been a Spirit-filled, influential child of God. He had been a very important Christian. And what a warning that ought to be to all of us. The Bible says, "Let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Sometimes we'll look at somebody, you know, who's in some kind of behavior that we don't approve of, and we kind of judge them and we say, well, you know, he shouldn't have done that. Well, the thing about it is, the Bible down here is very plain to us. You know, it tells us to let him that think he stands take heed lest he fall, because as I said a while ago, all of us in the right set of circumstances could do something to bring shame on Jesus if we're not careful. I want to tell you that there is not a person in this place, including myself, including this choir, including your deacons, who could not disgrace the name of Jesus if we were not careful. I mean, there's always the danger of backsliding. Paul knew this over in 1 Corinthians 9:27. He said, I keep my body under subjection. Always I keep my eyes on the things of the Lord, lest I myself become a castaway. The Greek word is a dokimos. A castaway. A castaway does not lose his salvation, but something you cast away is something that you don't use anymore. It becomes relatively useless. How many of you have an attic in your home? Oh, no, this is not a trick question, folks. How many of you have an attic? All right, there you go. How many of you have a garage? Anybody got a garage? Does your attic and your garage look like my attic and what my garage used to look like? Now, I say that because back in January, I totally cleaned out my garage. Praise the Lord. But now, Iris and I went up into the attic the other day. We could hardly get into the attic because it was just absolutely packed with stuff up there. That is a dokimos. Cast away. Stuff up there that we used to use, we no longer use it anymore, so we have stuck it out. Away, out of sight. We have put it away. It's no longer useless to us, so we just put it away, cast away. Let me explain it like this. My wife's father was a farmer. And Charles Wilson was a good farmer. And I noticed as I rambled all over his property and all over the Wilson property hunting through the years past, you know, that every once in a while, I would find a piece of farm equipment stuck off on the backside of the place somewhere, growing up in the kudzu, blackberry vines, weeds, just stuck off on the backside of the property somewhere. Used to be used, no longer useless, now useless. It is what you would call a dokimos. It is cast away. Now here's my point. My point is a child of God can get to that place in his or her life where you just do your own thing, you just live your own way, you disobey the Lord. Instead of having Jesus on the throne of your life, you're on the throne of your life, and you do that so much that you become a dokimos, having loved this present world. You just are kind of stuck on the backside of nowhere. You are useless, once used in a great way, but no longer used anymore, see. There are a lot of castaway Christians today. They were once useful to the Lord, but now they're useless. They've been put on the shelf, stored in the attic, stuck in the garage, stuck out behind the barn. And Demas was once a mighty Christian servant, but he became a backslider, a castaway. And here's my point. I pray that's not happening to you. But I'll bet you in this church, there are people, members of this church, to whom that has happened. See? Demas was salt that has lost its savor, good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. That was the condition of Demas. But now let's go to number two. What was the cause of Demas's condition? Why was it that Demas forsook Paul? We'll go back to the text. The cause of Demas's condition is given. He loved this present world. Our churches are eat up by people like that today. They may come to church every once in a while, but pretty much they're busy on the weekends because they're out there. They love this present world. And Demas loved this world instead of that world, see. Now you say, well, Preacher Mike, what world are you talking about? Are you talking about the physical world, the earth? No, I'm not talking about this terra firma upon which we walk, because the Bible says in Acts 17:24, God made the world and all things therein. So he's not talking about this world as far as the physical world upon which we walk and live. We ought to appreciate God's earth, the beauty of it, the use of it. Well then, Preacher Mike, are you talking about the human world of mankind? No, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. And he's talking about the world of mankind. Christians certainly are to love all people. Well, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15-16 tells you about the world we are not to love. Verse 16 tells you the kind of world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's talking about a spiritual system, folks, that is opposed to God. It involves anything in this world that takes away your love and my love and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything that comes between us and the Lord, that's what it's talking about. Now, don't misunderstand this thing of worldliness when I talk about it. A lot of times, when we think of worldliness in the church, we think about some sleazy nightclub somewhere, or a poker party, or a men's stag party, or going to the wrong places. And all of that may be a form of worldliness, but if that's all you think worldliness is, you've got a small understanding of what it is. I mean, you can love the opera instead of the nightclub and still be very worldly. Some businessmen are very worldly about their business, but they call somebody else worldly because they go to a particular place of amusement. Now listen to me, worldliness is not necessarily a matter of things. Not a matter of things necessarily. It's all right to have things as long as they don't have you. You know, you take a man who is driving around in a Mercedes Benz, you know, maybe one of these expensive cars, and if you drive some old jalopy, you might say that man driving the Mercedes Benz is worldly. But now listen, if you're driving a jalopy and here's another guy and he's riding on a bicycle, he may look at you and say, you're worldly, you see. Sometimes we look at a man, you know, who's doing well off, you know, we may say, well, they're worldly, but we can have a worldly heart too. Worldliness is not necessarily having anything to do with things. You can be as poor as a church mouse and still be worldly. Worldliness is not a matter of going certain places, doing certain things, having a lot of possessions. It is a heart attitude. It is a lust of the heart. The Bible says that Demas forsook Paul because he loved this present world. Well, Preacher Mike, what is our relationship to this world supposed to be in which we live? Well, John 17 tells you about that. In John 17, verse 6, it says, we've been saved out of the world. Now, somebody asked me, Preacher Mike, where do you live? Well, I live in the Quail Run subdivision, Fountain Inn, South Carolina, but that's not my home. What? Yeah, I've lived there, I'll be 30 years next year, but that's not my home. What do you mean? Because as a child of God, my citizenship is not here, it is over yonder. I'm just passing through this world. See? I think there's a gospel song, Steve, along that line. See? So you see, we live in this world. But the Bible says in John 17, 6, we are saved out of the world. That is, our salvation is not here. Our citizenship is in heaven. And then John 17, 11, we have to live in this world, though. You take Jesus. Jesus was the Son of God. But He was not a hermit. He went to weddings. He went to banquets. He went to parties. He did not go off to some monastery to keep Him from being contaminated by the world. Jesus was living in the world, but He didn't let the world get into Him. See? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to you that it's one thing to have the ship in the water. It's another thing to have the water in the ship. It's one thing to have a child of God living in the world. It's another thing having the world in the child of God. See? You see what I'm saying? I mean, the Lord Jesus was not a hermit. He lived in the world, but He kept Himself unspotted from the world, and that's what we're supposed to do. You see, we've been saved out of the world, but we have to live in the world. And then John 17, 18 says, we have been sent unto the world. Well, what are we to do if we've been sent to the world? Well, we're to share the greatest news that has ever been shared in this world, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And right here in this community, all around this community, there are people who don't know Jesus. And this church has been planted right down here in the middle of this community. And this church ought to be busy taking the gospel to those people all around here, telling them how to be saved. We are to be sent unto the world. And somebody says, well, we've been saved out of the world. We must still live in the world. We're not to be of the world. We're saved to go back into the world. And that's the only business in the world that we have, is to tell people about Christ. Well, let me come back to Demas. What was his condition? He was a backslider. What was the cause of his condition? Well, he loved this present world more than he loved Jesus and his world. Well, what about the course of Demas' condition? What was the course of Demas' departure? How did he get away from the Lord? Let me ask you a question. Do you think that one day Demas was faithfully serving the Lord, working right alongside the Apostle Paul and Epaphras and Luke and Aristarchus, and he's working with the early church and he's sharing, you know, the gospel? And, you know, do you think all of a sudden one day he just stopped like he had been slapped cold in the face and said, you know, I don't think I'm going to do this anymore. I'm just going to give this up right now. It didn't happen that way. I believe Demas got away from the Lord gradually. He got away from the Lord a step at a time, slowly, imperceptibly at first. The Bible says in Proverbs, the backslider in his heart shall be filled with his own ways. And backsliding always starts in a person's heart before you can see it anywhere else. It is a slow, gradual process. Satan is very clever in the way he works. You know, no man ever robs a bank without something taking place in his heart and mind before that. Maybe, you know, one day he reads in the paper about a bank robbery. And then maybe months pass and he's walking down the street and bills are getting a little tight and he's getting in financial trouble and he sees a bank. Maybe he thinks to himself, what if? And months transpire, and he keeps thinking about his financial need, and one day, the thought becomes the father of the deed, and he walks into a bank, and he pulls out a gun, and he robs the bank of some money. What's your point, Preacher Mike? My point is, it takes place over a period of time. It is a gradual process. Demas was a backslider in his heart, first of all, and slowly he slipped away from the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. And you ought to write this down. You ought to just go ahead and tear your bulletin off, a little piece of it, put it on the back side. You ought to write this down. Put this on your refrigerator with a magnet. Either you love the Lord Jesus Christ today more than you loved Him yesterday, or you love Him less. Did you hear what I said? Either you love the Lord Jesus Christ today more than you loved Him yesterday, or you love Him less. And if there was ever a time in your life when you loved Jesus more than you do now, you've already started on that road that Demas was on. You say, well, Preacher Mike, I just love Him a little less, right? That's what I'm talking about. Just a little less, and Demas started slipping, slowly getting away from the Lord. I heard this story about two riveters who were building a skyscraper. And they had worked together and worked together, and one riveter would work on a girder, steel girder, and he would heat those rivets white hot and get them soft and malleable. And the other riveter would be up above, and this man would take his tongs and pick up those white hot rivets, and he could throw those things up to the guy above him to the same spot every time. Just every time. Guy above would take his cup and boom, he'd catch it, just same spot every time. But what the guy above didn't know was that the guy below got it in for him. Decided he would knock him off, do away with him. And so he devised a plan. And his plan was he would start throwing those rivets just an inch further out. Every time he threw one up, he would throw it an inch further out. And so the guy would have to reach about an inch, but he didn't pay any attention. And the guy kept doing that for months and months and months. And then when the man was used to doing that, he would do another inch and another inch. And then after a number of months, finally the guy above was reaching way out with his cup to catch those rivets. And then one day when the wind was just right, blowing just right, conditions were just right, the man below took his tongs, grabbed one of those white hot rivets, threw a little further out. The man reached and fell to his death. Murder, but who could prove it? An inch at a time. Now here's my point. My point is that the devil is doing that to some folks today. He's setting you up for the kill. I mean, he's setting some folks up today just like that. Moving people an inch at a time. You know, no Bible reading today. maybe missing prayer meeting tonight. The attitude, nobody's going to miss me at church if I just sleep in. An inch at a time, the devil just moves you along, and he's waiting to just the right moment, and he's going to set you up and get you, and like Demas, make you a castaway. You know, I wonder if that process hasn't started in your heart right now. I wonder if some of you have not been inched away by the devil, and he's setting you up for the fall along the way. Now, I can't answer that question. You'll have to answer that. But what happened when Demas forsook Paul? What are the consequences of his condition? Well, number one, he disgraced his Lord. I mean, you remember the story in the Bible that talks about the man who was going to build, but he was not able to finish, and how everybody laughed and mocked him? Well, you know, I know some people today who started off serving the Lord, but now they've quit, and they've been put on the shelf. Don't you know that gives the devil room to laugh? You know, one of the things that has hurt me through the last 20, 25 years. Every once in a while, we'll read in the paper or to be on television, or we'll hear in the community of some preacher somewhere who has done something wrong, and he's run off with somebody else's wife, or he's embezzled funds. And the whole community is in an uproar about it, and the lost community just kind of makes fun of it, you know. They just have the idea, well, if that's Christianity, that's no different from the rest of us. That's right. And you see, the devil does that. The devil just kind of slips people along an inch at a time, until finally, you know, he puts them in a position where they disgrace the Lord. And I think about some of these evangelists who've disgraced the Lord, and the whole world makes the night show host. They'll make fun, people will laugh, and it just disgraces the Lord. That's what Demas did. Number two, he denied his friend. I mean, he denied Paul. You say, well, Pastor, it's none of your business how I live. Oh, yes, it is, too. Pastor, it's none of your business how I live. That's where you're wrong. It would be my business if I were not being a pastor of some church somewhere. If I was just a regular guy in a pew, it would be my business, because when we misbehave and the world gets onto that, it makes our job harder, those of us who are trying to serve the Lord, you see. Don't tell me it doesn't make a difference what you do. It does make a difference. You know what the Bible teaches about this? The Bible says that we are all members of one another. All of us are members of one another as believers. And what hurts you hurts me. What hurts me hurts you. And when you don't pray as you ought to, the church here does not have the power it ought to have, and that affects every member of the church. And so I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, old Demas disgraced the Lord. He denied his friend. And let me ask you this. Do you think Demas was happy living that way? No, his peace got disturbed. He wasn't happy living like that. When he started living in the world, do you think Demas was happy? Let me tell you this, the most miserable person in the world is not an unsaved person. Somebody says, what are you talking about? Well, you take the White Plains community. The most miserable person in White Plains community is not an unsaved man. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. The most miserable person in White Plains community is a child of God who's not living for God. Now, you say, well, Preacher Mike, what are you talking about? What I'm saying is, you know, we can't live that way and be happy like that, see? Being out of fellowship with God, you know, you don't have the grace to serve God, but you don't have the courage to serve the devil. I mean, you just have enough religion to make you miserable. And I guarantee you, Demas was not a happy man when he was living apart from the Lord. He had one foot in the world and one foot of the church. And I tell you one more thing about him, he dissipated his reward. Demas could have had a marvelous reward in heaven. Do you know right now, as a child of God, as you live for Jesus, you are storing up rewards in heaven? Did you know that? That's what the Bible teaches. But you also know what the Bible says? It says, look to yourselves that you lose not that which you have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. You can lose those rewards. I didn't say you lose your salvation, but you can lose your reward. So here's old Demas. The Bible says that his condition was that he forsook the Lord. He loved this present world. And somebody says, well, what about a cure? Was there a cure for Demas' condition? Could Demas have come back and gotten right with the Lord? Why, of course he could. That's the good news of this sermon. I mean, could Demas have come back and gotten right with the Lord, Preacher Mike? Of course he could. Go back to our text in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 10 and 11. And I want you to see something there. It says in verse 10, "For Demas has forsaken me," Paul says, "having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." Now look at verse 11. "Only Luke is with me." Now get this part. "Take Mark and John Mark and bring him with you, Timothy, when you come, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." What does that mean? Who is John Mark? You go over in the book of Acts and you'll read about Paul and Barnabas. They went on their first missionary journey. They took a young man with them called John Mark to help them along the way. But somewhere along on that missionary journey, John Mark quit and he went back home. Second time Paul and Barnabas wanted to go on a missionary journey, they were looking for helpers, and Barnabas said, "Let's get John Mark." Paul said, "No way, he's a quitter. He quit on us. He backslid. He left us. When we needed him, he was gone." And the Bible says that the contention between Paul and Barnabas became so intense that they decided to go their separate ways on missionary journeys over John Mark, who had become a backslider. I want to go back to this verse, verse 11. Verse 11 says down here, the Apostle Paul says about John Mark, "Take John Mark, Timothy, and bring him with you, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Now here's the point. Somewhere along the way, John Mark, who did the same thing that Demas did, came back to Jesus, got things right to the point that the Apostle Paul said, "He is profitable to me for the ministry." You know, I don't know about you, but I am so glad that story's in the Bible, because that's me. There have been a lot of times in my time as a Christian, been a lot of times when I've gotten away from Jesus. I have lived like Demas. And I have kind of done my own thing and worldliness get in my heart, and I got away from God. But here's the thing about it. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, we believers, when we sin, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. John Mark came back. Now here's the thing, if you've got the seeds of Demas lurking in your heart, you can come back. You don't have to be backslidden. You can come to the Father and just in a time of prayer, just ask the Lord to forgive your sin and to restore your fellowship with Him, and He'll do that. Now, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. In a moment we're going to give an invitation. And if you have those seeds of Demas lurking in your heart, and you need to come back to the Savior, this is a good time to do it. You could come here to the front of this platform and kneel and pray, or you can sit on the pew and kneel and pray, and you can recommit your life to the Lord. If you'd like to come to me and pray, that'd be fine too. But you're bringing yourself to Jesus, and you're recommitting your life to Jesus, you're rededicating your life to Jesus. You do that today, if God leads you to do that. If you're lost and you've never been saved, why don't you just ask Christ to come into your heart, forgive your sin, and give you eternal life? If you're here today looking for a church home, then you come and move your membership. If you need prayer, you come today and we'll just pray about whatever's on your heart. But as you come and do what God would have you do. Father, I thank you for these lessons in the Bible about these people there who made mistakes like we do. And I thank you, Lord, that you're a God of the second chance, that you're willing to give us another chance. And I just thank you for that and pray that you'll work in our hearts today and have your will and way in all of our lives. And we'll thank you for all that you do. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a hymnal close by.